praise before the world confess. Thy name, O Jesus, be forever blessed. Alleluia. Upon this special and holy day, we gather in the tradition of the Church. We recognize and affirm the creeds of the Church. We believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and was buried. The third day He rose again, ascended into heaven, sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting for all the saints. But our creeds are not just traditional. We compose them as we go. They're experiential. They're ours too, and ours alone. We could call, as sometimes we do, upon our New England poet, Robert Frost, no great fan of religion in an organized fashion, but someone who loved nature and especially the music of words, syllable by syllable. You know, he spoke to us and wrote for us north of Boston an invitation, and this is an open invitation. This table is open. I'm going out to clean the pasture spring. I'll only stop to rake the leaves away and wait to watch the water clear I may. That shan't be gone long. You come. Also a matter of reluctance. This is part of our lived creed, our experience. We are reluctant to say goodbye, farewell, at a parting when we lose those whom we love, giving them over to God's triumphant eternal care and glory. But we're reluctant, he wrote. When to the heart of man was it ever less than a treason to go with the drift of things, to yield with the grace to reason, to bow and accept the end of a love or a season. We recognize in that poetic, experiential wisdom also the calling to us, especially upon the Lord's Day, to consider just who we are, our self, our own most self, not our almost self, but our own most self. And to do that, we need to balance. We need to be able to balance. Yield who will to their separation. My object in living is to unite my vocation with my avocation, as my two eyes make one in sight. Only where love and need are one, and the work is play for mortal stakes, is the deed ever really done for heaven and the future's sakes. And especially, and we think of it today, on the sawdust trail that is the center aisle that is coming to the Lord's Supper, a moment of decision. That is, when we come forward to receive bread and cup, we do so personally but also publicly. We're acknowledging that we are intending to lead a certain kind of life, a life of faith. Ye that do truly and earnestly repent of your sin and are in love and charity with your neighbor and intend to lead a new life following after the commandments of God, draw near in faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort. Yes, in invitation and in reluctance and in vocation and in decision, we have our own creeds as they emerge. We learn from those who came before us. Some who are sitting in the back pews on the pulpit side will remember C. Faith Richardson, our first loss in COVID in her early 90s in March of 2020. And what a sprightly dear soul. What a wit. What a voice in Bible study and what a memory she had. Here is something, though, that I learned later, rather earlier than later, about her. Some years ago, I was in a church in Syracuse that was an inactive church. So I had in mind to call on the inactive members. There's a list in most churches of inactive members. It's a treasure, by the way, or can be. So the secretary set the calls, and out I went. I came upon a woman at middle age, along with her husband, who invited me in for tea, and they knew I was there, and I was not of unmixed motive. I was there to see whether she would like to come back, to rejoin the fold, to come drink from the living water, to swell the ranks of God's army. You get the feeling. But as it turned out, she had found another church. And she found another church by marrying her husband, who was a Presbyterian, a Methodist and a Presbyterian, a mixed marriage. Well, since we had no further business, we could just sit there and enjoy the tea that aspect of a prospective parishioner and a possible pastor set aside. We could just relate to each other. She said, you know, 25 years ago in the church you're now serving, we had many hundreds of children in the Sunday school. It makes me both laugh and cry to think about it. I think about the youth, loud and proud. I think about our Sunday school class that had to meet in the boiler room. It was the only space left. I think about my parents with others of their age. Somehow they decided to camp out on the church lawn one night in the snow. I have no idea why. I think of the woman who sat next to me in the pew with a bonnet and a little bow in it, and she passed me candy each Sunday, and I made it through service. And she was reporting on a Sunday school that C. Faith Richardson from the back pew built in the 1960s. Actually, there were 600 children on the rolls of that Sunday school long before. She said, when I think about that, I think about the life there. I think about the happiness there. I think about the joy there. I think about the faith there. I think about the love there. She wasn't voicing nostalgia, although there was some of that. She was voicing a longing for what love can be. And then she said, well, I went to the Junior Brahms with a fellow from the North Side, and 6 years later we were married at that altar. She went out to get some more tea, and he and I sat there in the living room with the leaves falling, two men together saying not a word, can you believe it? And she returned and spoke to us fully about the saints who had brought her there. I think of family stories. You will have some in your own treasure chest of our Aunt Hazel. My father was raised by a single mom, and actually he was brought up by his Aunt Hazel, my great aunt, and his uncle, Bob. And she would tell us stories about when he was a little fellow running around after her. She taught him to bake apple pies, and he became a wonderful such baker of pies. But he would tug on her apron and say, Aunt Hazel, where was I before I was born? Where was I before I was born? And he wouldn't let go. And finally, with that tart wit that she had, she turned to him and said, where were you? You were down in Canada boiling soap. And I have no idea what she meant. And he had no idea what she meant, but he never asked again. There was that rapport, that repartee. You know, there are people who came before us. On May 22nd of this year, after the baccalaureate service, church was full, the choir was lovely, the service was ended, and I was trying to get to the commencement, which was starting soon, but I could see a fellow waiting for me at the door. He said, I know you have to get up the street, but I need to tell you something. You mentioned Martin Luther King in the sermon, baccalaureate this year, and in 1968, I was an intern at the Marsh Chapel, and I came over the morning after King was assassinated. Do you know who Robert Hamill is? He asked. And I said, why, yes, he's one of the deans of the chapel. Franklin Littell, Howard Thurman, Robert Hamill, Robert Thornburg, Robert Neville, Robert Hill. He said that morning he was kneeling. He had put a sign written in hand script of all the things they were going to do in the chapel that day, but I found him that morning kneeling on the plaza alone, weeping harder than I had ever seen anyone weep. Friends, today is not an easy day to be leading and working on a college campus anywhere. This is a difficult time, especially to be a Jewish professor or a Muslim professor, a Jewish student or a Muslim student. a professor or a student of any stripe. But we've been in difficult times before. These are difficult times. But we've been, as Robert Hamill reminds us, in difficult times, and we shall proceed through them. We will get through them and do so with the saints, for all the saints who are with us this day. Take a moment this afternoon to think of one or two people who shaped your life and formed your faith, the saints that brought you thus far, because our creeds are not just ancient or traditional. We have some, we share across the ecumenical church. Whatever the future is for Christianity in this country, it's going to be ecumenical. One reads, "We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in the true person Jesus to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. God calls us to be the church, to celebrate the body of Christ, to love and serve others, to seek justice, resist evil, proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone." Congregation of Marsh Chapel, in a challenging time on campus, you have a role to play by being present Sunday by Sunday to exemplify the lasting faith of Christ, and by being in conversation when the moment arises with those around you, particularly our students and graduate students, because we have received the gifts of God for the people of God in bread and cup this day, and we will be energized and carried forward so to live, remembering and humming to ourselves, "For all the saints who from their labors rest, who thee by faith before the world confess, thy name, O Jesus, be forever blessed. Alleluia. Amen."